The Albany Symphony Orchestra will present a thrilling program of Rossini's William Tell Overture, Schubert's Symphony No. 9, The Great, and the world premiere of Three Manhattan Bridges, a major new work by Michael Torkey, featuring piano soloist Joyce Yang in concerts at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall on Saturday night and Sunday afternoon. Three Manhattan Bridges was commissioned by the ASO and written expressly for Yang, Torkey's favorite pianist. The work was inspired by his adopted home, New York City. Its three movements are George Washington Bridge, Queensboro Bridge, and Brooklyn Bridge. To tell us more, we welcome Albany Symphony Orchestra maestro David Allen Miller and composer Michael Torkey. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
George,
very nice to have
Washington
you.
Bridge. George washes the Washington Bridge. It's actually based on that theme. Not really. Just kidding.
How are you?
Great. How nice to see you, Joe.
It's very nice to see you.
Happy holidays.
Happy
to you.
Holidays. It's always now. Here's an interesting thing. I was going
fun
back
fact.
Over. Fun fact. I was going over past scripts for the many years, several years. You know, we've been doing this a long time.
I know
you,
Joe.
And me. We've been doing this a long time.
I'm trimming my white beard. What's that thing about eventually you just become Santa Claus?
Yes. Isn't
that?
Yeah.
That's
so
where I am.
I was looking over. And it seemed that normally at this time we would be talking about sort of a holiday-themed concert, and that isn't the case this year, really.
This is holiday-themed.
All right, tell me how.
Because the songs all sound really festive. In fact, it's funny, even though...
You're not labeling it as a holiday.
It's not really holiday-themed. But okay. What it is it's some of the most glorious music, and it is an incredibly festive, joyous concert. The Schubert Ninth Symphony is this magnificent piece. You know, Schubert kind of lived a little bit in the shadow of Beethoven, who was 26 years his senior, and he revered Beethoven, and he heard the premiere of the Ninth Symphony in 1824 and was so inspired by that he wanted to write a große symphony, a great symphony, a big symphony, and this is the piece, and it's this joyous, magnificent, monumental piece, and the Rossini is this incredibly festive celebration of Switzerland and William Tell, and Michael's piece, I have to say, I joked at him last night during one of the rehearsals, I said, it sounds like Christmas music because it is so joyful and so bright and brilliant that I think it's a fabulous thing to do for all of you people who are stressing about the holidays. Come on out Saturday or Sunday and take a little two-hour rest and enjoy with us, because it's just a great gift for the holidays to give to your family, friends, loved ones, etc.
Michael, did you mean it to be festive?
I didn't think in terms of festive or festivity, but it occurs to me that it might be a kind of a revolutionary idea these days to write a piece that has structure and is thematic. Imagine that. And, you know, and I attempt to...
Not that, and has big, beautiful tunes. That's a thing that I think all three of these pieces share. I mean,
yeah.
Michael's piece has beautiful tunes, frankly, a la Schubert in a way. They're similarly gorgeous.
Well, my three influences that I cite even in the program now, it says Ravel, but maybe even more, Rachmaninoff and Gershwin. And those three composers I was studying a lot while I was writing this.
So what do you think it is about, because it was a little bit of a shot, right, as far as...
A shot.
Well, meaning that when you're saying imagine that, of having a composition with these ingredients, how do you think we moved away from that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course, modernism was the big train derailing over the course of the 20th century where we lost our audience. So here we are trying to bring the audience back, and all the young composers are doing these kind of structureless wallpaper music kind of pieces. I shouldn't denigrate anyone. And I think, where is structure and where is melody and why is this something that we've forgotten? Because as an audience member, that's what we yearn for. When we reach for the, you know, the record shelf or the CD shelf or Spotify or whatever, what do we want to listen to at the end of the day? And I know that deep in the hearts of all of us, this is what we want and we yearn for, but no one's delivering that.
We want something that we remember and something we hum, correct?
Yeah, well, maybe we don't necessarily hum, but yeah, that sticks. There's a sense of gestalt or ear candy or something that sticks in your head. And we want structure. That's the other thing.
Well, I don't know that we know that we want structure. I
mean, but
what
we do.
I think you're saying, though, that people like music that we can understand, that's intelligible in some sense. And that's sort of where I judge composition, whether it's based on melody, whether it's, quote, atonal. If you can follow the argument, if the average, you know, music-loving listener can follow the argument, to me, then it's already an exciting piece of music. And I think that's maybe what you're talking about, that it's this idea to really sort of receive what the composer is giving and not just be befuddled by it, but to really hopefully enjoy it. So more specifically, tell us a little bit about this piece specifically, because this is a kind of unique piece for you, I think, not only because it's a piano concerto, but also because it's so influenced by New York.
Yeah, it's a Valentine to New York. I had sold my Greenwich Village apartment thinking I could live the rest of my life out in the desert in Nevada. And 9 months later, I realized what a mistake that was and came back to New York and bought an apartment on the east side where there's this beautiful view of the Queensboro Bridge. And I was practicing the orchestral reduction so I could rehearse with Joyce at the Steinway basement. We did that last month. And I looked out and I thought, you know, this is it. The idea of the bridge, not only bridging the composer to the audience, but these pathways to bring people onto the island of Manhattan.
And it's a super jazzy piece. I mean, really, I know Michael's influences include Ravel and Rachmaninoff, but to me, I just hear such wonderful kind of reimaginings of the kinds of things that Gershwin did. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound like he's aping Gershwin or like he's trying to write 1920s jazz, but there's something so kind of urbane and New York-like about it that's really similarly charming to, if you know the Concerto in F or even the Rhapsody in Blue, it's got similar kinds of aesthetic interests. It's very... Mm-hmm. Very jazzy and lovable and rhythmical and exciting. And you know, that's why I keep coming back to Michael's music, because I find that for me, and I think also for the audience, that it's so fresh and so exciting and as we said, so gettable, so understandable.
Talk to me about the commission process of how you think about this and how you work with Michael and how it ultimately comes together.
Sure. Well, in this case, you know, we knew that we were working on a new disc for Albany Records through the great generosity of a former member of the orchestra, Marcia Nickerson, who's helped to underwrite the cost of these recordings. And so
let me just press the pause button. Congratulations on your second Grammy nomination.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Joe. Mm-hmm. Very exciting.
First nomination, you won.
Yes.
Second nomination, you'll win.
Well, as I always say, it's not about winning. It's about being nominated. Because this time we're up against really tough competition. Jonas Kaufmann, the greatest tenor in the world, and a couple of great other singers.
All right. Well, we're rooting for you.
But thank
okay,
you,
go
Joe.
On.
That's
so,
really
I mean, that
nice.
Just shows how wonderful these recording
well,
projects
what's
a,
yeah,
are.
Yeah, exactly. What's exciting is this is now, we, there was 1 year last year, we didn't release anything that was then nominated, so we had 1 year off, but this is the 2 years have passed. It's been the second year, and we've got our second nomination, and we're having a lot of new discs come out in the next couple of years, so my hope is that this will continue for us, because these are really exciting and, I think, essential discs. So anyway, we knew that we wanted to work on a new disc with Michael, and last year we commissioned a beautiful cello piece from him called Winter's Tale that was very successful and very beautiful, and so to complete the disc, I wanted it really to be two concertos, and I think I said to Michael, you might have remembered it differently, but, you know, Michael's a great pianist and started as a pianist and went to Tanglewood as a 17-year-old or as a kid as a pianist. So since that's his instrument, I really had hoped that he would write a beautiful piano concerto. And in discussing it, he mentioned that Joyce Young was his very favorite pianist. He'd seen her on the finals of the Van Cliburn competition.
Yeah, and just by chance, she had been...
She had just played with us the month before, so I got in touch with her and we sent her Michael's music because she doesn't normally do new music, and she really loved it. And so... It's a very exciting thing for her. She's a fantastic artist and playing all over the world now with major, major orchestras. And this is the first orchestral commission, the first concerto she's commissioned that's been commissioned for her. And really, I think the first time she's played a real major piece of new music of any kind. So it's a really exciting thing for her and for Michael to work with her. And Michael's really mentored her. And so we've had a great time with it, all three of us.
Fill out the program and give us a sense of what people can expect.
Well, we're starting with the William Tell Overture, which is Rossini's maybe greatest overture. You know, he wrote this incredible group of, I think, 29 operas in the first 29 years of his life, one a year from the age of 1 to 29, and then he abruptly stopped in 1829. Everything has 29s to it. And then lived for another 40 years and never wrote another opera. And he was this huge culture success. This is his last opera and his most serious major opera, William Tell, you know, the story of the legendary story of William Tell shooting the apple off his son's head and, fighting for freedom in Switzerland and establishing the country of Switzerland. And it's got the famous dum da dum da da ba 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 and all sorts of other Bugs Bunny referential music in it. So a great classic. But again, 1829. Oh, wow. And then, as I said, the Schubert is from 1825, we think. So both these pieces sort of late classical, just the beginning of the Romantic era, and the Schubert, this magnificent sort of homage to Beethoven, but in its very uniquely Schubertian way, these long, gorgeous, soaring melodies and incredible drama. So very exciting to, but both pieces, basically very happy and joyful pieces surrounding this gorgeous, jazzy, joyful, rhythmically vital piece of Michael's. So a gorgeous, to me, it's a real holiday bouquet. And I always love to try to figure out how to do a holiday concert that isn't just Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Sleigh Ride, that's something that really is fitting for the holidays, but not specifically unique to Christmas or whatever.
Will you don a Santa hat at any point?
No, it's all not. All right. It's not that good. Okay. You missed that. That was last weekend or 2 weekends ago when we did the magic of Christmas. Okay. Although I didn't don a Santa hat. I could have. I should have.
Yeah.
Everybody else did. Yeah. So it's a really exciting thing.
Michael, do you think of, at what point in the conversation do you ask what else is going to be on the program?
Well, the year before, we worked out the program together because we wanted a smaller orchestra. And David asked, what would you like to pair? And I said, the Bach. And that was something you wanted to do, the Bach First Suite.
Right.
So that came together. This one, I knew that I had a bigger orchestra, and we didn't have a discussion about the program. So I discovered the Schubert when it was printed. We never did talk
about
discussed
that. It. But next year, we're planning a different project, and we're talking about programming together, and I'm trying to program some. I always like to program pieces by dead guys that somehow help us understand and appreciate the living guy or gal on the concert. So next year, we're doing the Mozart G minor symphony, the famous.
And David is incredibly collaborative as far as conductors go. And there's nothing better than I enjoy is getting on the phone with David and just talking forever about stuff.
Well, that's really nice. I feel the same way, Michael. And what's wonderful is when you work with a composer for a long time, you begin to really understand their interests and their voice. And
you have a kind of shorthand.
Shorthand. It becomes a shorthand, yeah. So it's been very exciting. And for the orchestra as well, because we've now played a great deal of his music. So the orchestra sounds great on this music.
It was interesting that at the first rehearsal, they clued in on almost everything. And I think it's because it's an ongoing relationship. They played incredibly well at that first rehearsal.
Mm. And so to me, what's so exciting about these recordings, like the Grammy-nominated ones, and like these premieres that we do on almost every concert, is that it's something that you'll never get to hear anywhere else. You're hearing this beautiful new artistic creation right out of the box. And for us, it's just as exciting because we're taking it out of the box and showing it off. So to me, that's a holiday gift in and of itself.
Well,
Sam, we just keep linking it to the holidays.
Yeah, I know. That's fine.
Perfect.
That's fine.
Holiday gift.
It's perfect. It's very
what
festive.
What a gift to give.
It's
gift of music.
Be great. Jingle bells at some point. There will be, I just mean the sound, not the actual song.
Do we have any sleigh bells?
There you go.
We'll add some sleigh bells.
There will be two chances to see and hear the Albany Symphony Orchestra at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall Saturday night and Sunday afternoon.
7:30 Saturday night with a 6:30 pre-concert talk.
And you'll be doing the pre-concert talk.
I will with Michael.
Excellent.
And Sunday at 3 with a 2 o'clock pre-concert talk. And today at the library in Albany at 12 o'clock, we're doing our big pre-concert talk. So if we all run, we'll get over there in time.
Perfect. Excellent. We'll let you run. But a reminder, in the meantime, you can hear the orchestra, see them as well. Troy Savings Bank Music Hall Saturday and Sunday. Saturday night, Sunday afternoon. Find out more, albanysymphony.com. Albanysymphony.com. Michael Torkey and David Alan Miller, a great pleasure. Thank you very much. Have a very happy and festive season.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks. Same to you and to all your brilliant listeners, your wonderful, sophisticated listeners.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.